When Solomon has the opportunity to ask of anything that his heart desires from God, what does he ask for? He asks for wisdom to rule over the great nation of Israel. He loved and he sought after wisdom and truth so he could be a good and a wise leader. Also, we see the tree of life. Proverbs chapter 3 talks about this tree of life, and it says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." And then in verse 18, she, that is the law, the Torah, the word of God, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. We find this tree of life all the way back in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, "Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." So the tree of life, which is the word of God, all of it from Genesis to Revelation. And finally, we see the same tree of life in the paradise of God in Revelation chapter 2. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And finally, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, "In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Listen in as we unpack 2 Chronicles chapter 1 to 3 with the opening scenes of the story of the kingship of Solomon. Welcome to the 1 Year Audio Bible Podcast. Today is July 20th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Hebrew Scriptures, or the Old Testament, and from the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 26, 1 to 32. When the plague was over, Hashem said to Moses and to Eleazar, son of Aaron, the Kohen, "Take a census of the whole Israelite community. From the age of 20 years up by their ancestral houses, all Israelites able to bear arms." So Moses and Eleazar the Kohen, on the steps of Moab, at the Jordan, near Jericho, gave instructions about them, namely, those from 20 years up, as Hashem had commanded Moses. The descendants of the Israelites who came out of the land of Egypt were Reuben, Israel's firstborn, descendants of Reuben, of Enoch, the clan of the Enochites, of Palu, the clan of Paluites, of Chetzron, the clan of Chetzronites, of Carmi, the clan of Carmites. Those are the clans of the Reubenites. The persons enrolled came to 43,730. Born to Palu, Eliab. The sons of Eliab were Nemuel and Dathan and Abiram. These are the same Dathan and Abiram chosen in the assembly who agitated against Moses and Aaron as part of Korah's band when they agitated against Hashem. Whereupon the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with Korah. When that band died, then the fire consumed the 250 men, and they became an example. The sons of Korah, however, did not die. Descendants of Simon by their clans, of Nemuel, the clan of the Nemuelites, of Jamin, the clan of the Jaminites, of Jachin, the clan of the Jachinites, of Zerach, the clan of the Zerahites, of Shaul, the clan of the Shaulites. Those are the clans of the Simeonites, persons enrolled, 22,200. Descendants of Gad by their clans, of Zephon, the clan of the Zephonites, of Haggai, the clan of the Haggites, of Shuni, the clan of the Shunites, of Osni, the clan of the Osnites, of Eri, the clan of the Erites, of Arad, the clan of the Aradites, of Areli, the clan of the Arelites. Those are the clans of Gad's descendants, persons enrolled, 40,500. Born to Judah, Ur and Onan. Ur and Onan died in the land of Canaan. Descendants of Judah by their clans, of Shelah, the clan of the Shelanites, of Perez, the clan of the Perizzites, of Zerach, the clan of the Zerahites. Descendants of Perez, of Shesron, the clan of the Chesronites, of Hamul, the clan of the Hamulites. These are the clans of Yehuda, persons enrolled, 76,500. Descendants of Issachar by their clans, of Tola, the clan of the Tolaites, of Puva, the clan of the Punites, of Yashuv, the clan of the Yashuvites, of Shimron, the clan of the Shimronites. Those are the clans of Issachar, persons enrolled, 64,300. Descendants of Zebulun by their clans, of Sered, the clan of the Seredites, of Ilan, the clan of the Elanites, of Jalil, the clan of the Jalilites. Those are the clans of the Zebulunites, persons enrolled, 60,500. The sons of Joseph were Manasseh and Ephraim by their clans. Descendants of Manasseh, of Maker, the clan of the Makarites. Maker begot Gilead, of Gilead, the clan of the Gileadites. These were the descendants of Gilead, of Iezer, the clan of the Iezerites, of Helek, the clan of the Helekites, of Asriel, the clan of the Asrielites, of Shechem, the clan of the Shechemites, of Shemidah, the clan of the Shemidahites, Hefer, the clan of the Heferites. Second Chronicles 1:1-3:17. Solomon, son of David, took firm hold of his kingdom, for Hashem his God was with him and made him exceedingly great. Solomon summoned all Israel, the officers of thousands and of hundreds, and the judges, and all the chiefs of all Israel, the heads of the clans. Then Solomon and all the assemblage with him went to the shrine at Gibeon for the tent of meeting, which Moses, the servant of Hashem, had made in the wilderness, was there. But the ark of Hashem David had brought up from Kiriath Jearim to the place where David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. The bronze altar which Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, had made was also there before the Mishkan of Hashem, and Solomon and the assemblage resorted to it. There Solomon ascended the bronze mitzvah before Hashem, which was at the tent of meeting, and on it sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night Hashem appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what shall I grant you?" Solomon said to Hashem, "You dealt most graciously with my father David, and now you have made me king in his stead. But now, O Hashem, let your promise to my father David be fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Grant me then the wisdom and the knowledge to lead this people, for who can govern your great people?" Hashem said to Solomon, "Because you want this and have not asked for wealth, property, and glory, nor have you asked for the life of your enemy or long life for yourself, but you have asked for the wisdom and knowledge to be able to govern my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I grant you also wealth, property, and glory, the like of which no king before you has had, nor shall any after you have." From the shrine at Gibeon, from the tent of meeting, Solomon went to Jerusalem and reigned over Israel. Solomon assembled chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses that he stationed in the chariot towns with the king in Jerusalem. The king made silver and gold as plentiful in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars as plentiful as the sycamores in Shephelah. Solomon's horses were imported from Egypt and from Kew. The king's traders would buy them from Kew at the market price. A chariot imported from Egypt cost 600 shekels of silver, and a horse 150. These in turn were exported by the mall to all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Arameans. Then Solomon resolved to build a house for the name of Hashem and a royal palace for himself. Solomon mustered 70,000 basket carriers and 80,000 couriers in the hills, with 3,600 men supervising them. Solomon sent this message to King Huram of Tyre: "In view of what you did for my father David in sending him cedars to build a palace for his residence, see, I intend to build a house for the name of Hashem my God. I will dedicate it to him for making incense offering of sweet spices in his honor, for the regular rows of bread, and for the morning and evening burnt offerings on Sabbath, new moons, and festivals, as is Israel's eternal duty. The house that I intend to build will be great, inasmuch as our God is greater than all gods. Who indeed is capable of building a house for him? Even the heavens to their uttermost reaches cannot contain him. And who am I that I should build him a house, except as a place for making burnt offerings to him? Now send me a craftsman to work in gold, silver, bronze, and iron, and in purple, crimson, and blue yarn. And who knows how to engrave alongside the craftsmen I have here in Judah and in Jerusalem, whom my father David provided? Send me cedars, cypress, and algum wood from the Lebanon, for I know that your servants are skilled at cutting the trees of Lebanon. My servants will work with yours. Provide me with a great stock of timber, for the house that I intend to build will be singularly great. I have allocated for your servants, the woodcutters who fell the trees, 20,000 core of crushed wheat and 20,000 core of barley, 20,000 batim of wine and 20,000 batim of oil." Huram, the king of Tyre, sent Solomon this written message in reply: "Because Hashem loved his people, he made you king over them." Huram continued, "Blessed is Hashem, God of Israel, who made the heavens and the earth, who gave King David a wise son, endowed with intelligence and understanding, to build a house for Hashem and a royal palace for himself. Now I am sending you a skillful and intelligent man, my master Huram, the son of a Danite woman, his father a Tyrian. He is skilled at working in gold, silver, bronze, iron, precious stones, and wood, in purple, blue, and crimson yarn, and in fine linen, and at engraving and designing whatever will be required of him, alongside your craftsmen and the craftsmen of my lord, your father David. As to the wheat, barley, oil, and wine which my lord mentioned, let him send them to his servants. We undertake to cut down as many trees of Lebanon as you need and deliver them to you as rafts by sea to Jaffa. You will transport them to Jerusalem." Solomon took a census of all the aliens who were in the land of Israel, besides the census taken by his father David, and they were found to be 153,600. He made 70,000 of them basket carriers, and 80,000 of them couriers, with 3,600 supervisors to see that the people worked. Then Solomon began to build the house of Hashem in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where Hashem had appeared to his father David, at the place which David had designated, at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. He began to build on the second day of the second month of the fourth year of his reign. These were the dimensions Solomon established for building the house of Hashem. Its length in amot by the former measure was 60, and its breadth was 20. The length of the porch in front was equal to the breadth of the house, 20 amot, and its height was 120. Inside he overlaid it with pure gold. The house itself he paneled with cypress wood. He overlaid it with fine gold and embossed on it palms and chains. He studded the house with precious stones for decoration. The gold was from Parvaim. He overlaid the house with gold, the beams, the threshold, its walls and doors. He carved cherubim on the walls. He made the Holy of Holies. Its length was equal to the breadth of the house, 20 amot, and its breadth was 20 amot. He overlaid it with 600 kikorim of fine gold. The weight of the nails was 50 shekels of gold. The upper chambers he overlaid with gold. He made two sculptured cherubim in the Holy of Holies, and they were overlaid with gold. The outspread wings of the cherubim were 20 amot across, one wing 5 amot long, touching one wall of the house, and the other wing 5 amot long, touching the wing of the other cherub. One wing of the other cherub 5 amot long, extending to the other wall of the house, and its other wing 5 amot long, touching the wing of the first cherub. The wingspread of these cherubim was thus 20 amot across, and they were standing up facing the house. He made the curtain of blue, purple, and crimson yarn and fine linen, and he worked cherubim into it. At the front of the house he made two columns 35 amot high. The capitals on top of them were 5 amot high. He made chainwork in the inner sanctuary and set it on the top of the columns. He made 100 pomegranates and set them into the chainwork. He erected the columns in front of the great hall, one to its right and one to its left. The one to the right was called Jachin, and the one to the left, Boaz. Romans 6, 1 to 23. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon yourself also to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Psalm 16, 1-11. Preserve me, O God, for in you do I put my trust. O my soul, you have said unto the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness extends not to you, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Proverbs 19, 20 and 21. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. I want to speak to you today from our reading from 2 Chronicles, chapters 1 through 3. And in the beginning of this book that we're now diving into, we see the inauguration of Solomon into the role of king over Israel. And we see in chapter 1, one night, that Hashem, or the Lord, appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what shall I grant you? What would you have asked for?" So Solomon did not think selfishly. He did not ask for long life or for wealth or for riches or any of that. Instead, he said, "Lord, you've dealt most graciously with my father David, and now you have made me king in his place. O Lord, let your promise to my father David be fulfilled. You've made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth." So here comes his request. "Grant me then the wisdom and the knowledge to lead this people, for who can govern your great people?" He asks for wisdom. And because he doesn't ask for something selfish, but he asks for something practical, "I need wisdom to govern this great people," the Lord is going to greatly bless him. And the Lord answers him and says, "Because you want this and have not asked for wealth or property or glory or asked for the life of your enemy or for long life for yourself, but because you have asked for wisdom and knowledge to be able to govern my people, and wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. And I grant you also wealth, property, and glory, the like of which no king before you has had, nor shall any after you have." So God says, "I'm going to answer your request and give you wisdom, but I'm also going to give you wealth and property and glory of which no other king will ever attain." So the Israel Bible commentary to this verse, verse 10, grant me the wisdom and the knowledge to lead this people, reads as follows. When given the opportunity to make a request of Hashem, Solomon asks for wisdom and understanding to be able to judge the nation properly. Just as David his father executed true justice among all his people, 1 Chronicles 18:14, though he was a man of battle and had shed blood, 1 Chronicles 28:3, Solomon's reign will be similarly characterized by justice. While the wars to secure Israel's borders are significant, what personifies the land of Israel in general and the city of Jerusalem in particular is justice and righteousness. Thus, Eretz Israel's inheritance through justice, justice allows for the land to flourish, and conversely, a lack of justice leads to its downfall and destruction. The Beit HaMikdash, that is the temple, built by Solomon, is the seat of justice, Deuteronomy 17:8-10, and it is where the high court would meet. In making this request of God, Solomon sought to ensure that he would lead the nation of Israel in the land of Israel in justice and truth. Today, the state of Israel has an established judicial system which continues to pursue justice in the Holy Land, ensuring that the population is law-abiding and protecting the rights of its citizens. Like the High Court of old, Israel's Supreme Court is located in Jerusalem. Jumping into chapter 3, I want to look at verse 10. He, that is Solomon, made two sculptured cherubim in the Holy of Holies, and they were overlaid with gold. The Israel Bible commentary to this verse reads as follows. Solomon builds two great cherubim in the Holy of Holies, paralleling the cherubim which God placed in front of the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the tree of life. Solomon's cherubim symbolize these guardians, showing that what lies behind them, the ark holds the roots to the tree of life. The Torah, which is contained in the ark, and the commandments therein are the pathway to life. As King Solomon writes about the wisdom of the Torah, for they will bestow on you length of days, years of life, and well-being, and she is a tree of life to those who grasp her. That comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 2 and verse 18. So let me expand on that. In the Garden of Eden was the tree of life. And the tree of life, you could say what it says in Proverbs, the Torah is the tree of life. And when I say the word Torah, I don't just mean the first five books of the Bible, of the Tanakh. When I say Torah, I mean the entire Bible, all of it, from Genesis to Revelation. So Jesus, when he came, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And also in the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word came down and dwelt and lived among us. Jesus is the Word made flesh, the Torah made flesh. So Jesus is the path to life. He is the living Torah. He is the Word of life. And so when we take in the Word, when we consume it, when we chew on it, reflect on it, meditate on it, put it into our heart, hide the Word of God into our heart, we are communing with Jesus. He is the way and the truth and the life. And so we are not able to follow or obey the Torah on our own Just by being obedient, we will fall. Our flesh is weak and we have a sinful nature. But when we have asked Jesus into our heart, when we have repented of our sin and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, then by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we follow the Lord Jesus and we obey his commands because we love him, as we are led by his Holy Spirit. So the tree of life that we see in the Garden of Eden is also seen in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 20 and 21, it talks about the tree of life there on the banks of the river, and that the leaves of this tree of life bring healing to the nations. It's interesting, an actual Torah scroll that when you roll it all out and read from it, the Torah scroll is called, the pages are called leaves, like the leaves of a tree. So this Torah, this living document, this living book of God communicating with us the way to live life, the way to live the kingdom, is pictured as a tree of life, but is also points us to Jesus Christ. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.